This Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast is presented by Robo Motors in Sylacauga, Alabama. Well known for quality pre-owned automobiles, RVs, boats, and motorcycles, and by Sylacauga Handicapped, the area's premier source of handicapped mobility and motoring equipment. Listen to the full show from 8 to 11 a.m. on Sundays on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix1065Radio.com, the Mix106.5 mobile apps, and the Mix106.5 skill on Amazon's Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama. Every week, we feature encouraging stories and have a great conversation with guests about their faith. Welcome to Mixed Sunday Morning for the week of October 20, 2024. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. Joining me this week from the state of California, and if you're listening here in Alabama and you don't know where California is, it's as far, well, Hawaii's out there, and Alaska's kind of up there, but for the continental U.S., it's as far west as you can go. And I'm highly honored and blessed to have Travis and Diana Schuler on the show. How are y'all doing today?
We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a good day. Got off of work. Diana's been homeschooling the kids, and
so she just got off work too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're working on our music. Got lots of new music coming out, and it's been good, busy but good.
Well, good. Well, I appreciate you, Travis. You said you've listened to some of the podcast, and I always start out. So we all get to know each other, and the listeners get to know who you are. And this is cool because this is the first time I've had a husband and wife on the show. I usually get to talk to the husbands about their wives, and I get to talk to the wives about their husbands, but never both at one time. So a first here for Mixed Sunday Morning.
Nice. We said it at the same time.
Yeah, right.
And so this is a double loaded question. Who is Travis and Diana Schuler?
Well, we're married. Yeah, I'm Travis Schuler, Diana Schuler. We got two kids too. I mean, that's kind of like who we are. Is we're husband and wife, and we're parents. And we write music, and we put that music out in the world, being faithful to the gifts that God's given us. And that's kind of us in a nutshell. I mean, we both have our own stories too. I come from a background of a non-Christian home, and I was a drug addict, and I was radically saved when I was 20 years old, and renounced that lifestyle, and have been chasing after God ever since. And Diana's got a different story.
Yeah, I actually came to know the Lord at a young age, but then didn't always follow fully until my early 20s, and then I felt the Lord calling me to go to school of worship at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And after that is when the Lord started opening the door for me to start recording the songs that He was giving to me. And then I met Travis a few years later, and then we just connected, and we started instantly writing songs together. So.
Yeah. Yep. And, we have, besides the music, we do a lot of other things. Diana homeschools.
Yeah, I homeschool.
I work as a manager at a cabinet making company. I like to think of it as just learning carpentry like Jesus did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's us. I mean, there's a lot more to that. But that's the abbreviated version.
Well, all right. Well, I'll tell you what, when we come back, we'll dig into it a little bit deeper.
Yeah, I think, there's definitely more to share there.
Yes, sir. All right. We'll be right back with Travis and Diana Schuler right here on Mixed Sunday Morning. Welcome back to Mix Sunday Morning. Joining me this week over Zoom, Travis and Diana Schuler. And I wish we could record everything because some of the best conversation is off air. But now that we've got the recording button on again, we opened up the segment on who both of you were, and you shared a little bit about that. And I know we want to talk about your music, and I definitely want to play some of your music. But I would love to hear the story. We kind of dabbled in it of how y'all met, because like I said, I've had the honor of officiating some weddings, and I'm more blown away standing there more than when I stood up there myself getting married, watching what God does. How did he bring these two together? How these families that are all attached out here from different ideas, different everything, and God brings these two together. So I'd love to hear the story of how God brought the two of you together.
Yeah, I'll start that one off. It's really a God thing, and it all started around music. I mentioned, I kind of came to Christianity later in life. I kind of grew up in a liberal household. I had issues with drugs and didn't go to church or anything. So when I got saved, I was kind of one of the oddballs in the family. So when I got out of college and I gotten out of a bad relationship, I moved to Southern California, where Diana lived, to get started with my career. And like I said, I got out of a bad relationship. I was a new believer somewhat, and walking with the Lord less than 10 years at that point, and just wanted to serve God. But I was, you know, doing my normal thing, which was worshiping the Lord. I had a guitar and I play like Revelation song and stuff, you know, in my room. And my parents didn't like that, or my family. So they kind of weren't necessarily kicking me out, but were kind of making it plain that they didn't want to hear that. So I'm like, okay, I'll just go in the park and I'll worship the Lord. And so I just drove down the park, down the street. And I was also songwriting too, because that's something I've always done, even before I got saved. I grew up in Seattle during when a lot of the grunge and indie rock scene was going on. So music was kind of something everyone kind of dabbled in up there when you were a kid. So I was songwriting anyways. When I got saved, I just continued doing that. And so I was out in the park writing music and worshiping God. And this lady just shows up, named Tanya, really nice lady. And she's like, hey, I really like your worship. What are you doing? And what's your story? So I just told her, I'm like, yeah, I'm writing a song. I'm out here worshiping the Lord. I'm down here in California. I just got started, with trying to get a job, looking for, get plugged into the church, right? I was serving down in inner city missions with Calvary Chapel on Skid Row, kind of doing some mission work down there. And, you know, I had a heart to go to China, and she was Chinese. So we started talking about that. And it was so cool because she's like, look, she's like, I'm going to give you 3 phone numbers and you need to call these people. And I was like, all right. One of them was a missionary who was going to China. She's like, you need to call this dude and just have fellowship because you both have a heart for missions. Another guy was this really awesome, like seasoned saint who just knew the word of God. And she's like, this guy, you need to see to meet him because he needs to pray for you and encourage you because this guy just is awesome. And we met him. He was really cool. And then I never met the guy for missions, though. And Diana knew him, but I never met him. And then she gave me a songwriter friend of hers phone number, which was not Diana. It was someone named Jennifer Dietz, who's another Christian artist, but was one of Diana's friends, and was actually the maid of honor in her wedding. So I called all of them. And what Jen did was she invited me to come see, she was singing with a band, and it was Diana with her band. Mm-hmm. So it was at a place called Angel City Cafe in Bellflower, California. And they would have independent artists through all the time, Christian artists. It was just that type of place. I think that they're still running it somewhat online and whatnot, but really super cool thing. I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. Sounds like my type of deal. So I show up And I see Diana, and like I literally heard the still small voice of God say, "That's your wife." And I said, "Nope." Like, I do not know her. I don't know what, I'm not here for God, right? And so I see her putting her CD out, and I'm like, "Oh, cool, you made a CD. That's so cool." And she's like, "Yeah, I made it. This is my first CD." And then you know, I watched her in a band play. I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that big voice, you know, to come out of, you know, her mouth, because she's very quiet and soft-spoken, but then sings real big. And then I was like, okay. You know, I didn't really talk to her much afterwards, and I never thought I'd see her again until her friend invited me to her birthday party, where once again, Diana was there playing music. And I was like, all right. I'm like, and I still wasn't even trying to talk to her, because I was not set on, like, I like heard the voice of God, but I was like, I was in that kind of like Jonah mode where I'm like, no, that was probably me making up something in my own head. I just got out of a bad relationship. Why would I meet my wife now? You know, trying to kind of talk myself out of it. But then I sat next to her, and it was, we were all sharing songs we had written, and I sat down next to her, and we just started talking about God, and then never stopped. Mm. We were up to like 3 o'clock in the morning that night, just trading testimonies, right? Like, this is what God did in my life. You know, he saved me from this, and this. You know, one time I was praying and this thing happened, just swapping testimonies of what God had done. And it was incredible. And, you know, we were best friends ever since. We started writing music together. I think it was like 6 months later we were engaged. 9 months later we were married. Yeah, it was like that. And the Holy Spirit touched me so many times throughout it. Like, I knew, like, it was beautiful. And like, you see the fruits of it now, you know, 10 years later, we've been married 10 years. We've got a daughter who's going to be 10. We've got a wonderful son. He just turned 7, and we all do ministry together. Nice. We all write songs. They help. They run our merch table, right? They're even contributing to the songs. Our kids, they're singing on one of our records, one of our recent releases, and it's just amazing what God has done.
Yeah.
Now, Miss Diana, when the first time you saw Travis,
mm-hmm.
did the Lord speak to you?
No. So, from my end of it, I was in a spot in my life where I was just super content in the Lord, and I was happy, and I was just like, Lord, if it's just going to be me and you, I'm happy, I'm good, and I just want to keep serving you. And so I didn't really think of anything when I saw Travis, and I just thought, oh, he seems nice, you know. And he kept talking to my friend Jen, and I actually made a joke with one of my friends that was there playing violin with us, because we all drove together, and I was waiting for Jen because she was talking to Travis for a long time in the parking lot. So we were in the car, me and my friend Christy, and we were, as I was waiting, I said, oh, it looks like Jen, maybe she found her new guy, you know, and because they had like chemistry, you know. And so she gets in the car, and she's like, Jen comes back in the car, and she goes, you know, it's like I just got out of this relationship, and my heart's still in that old relationship, and God puts this guy who's really on fire for the Lord, and he like has all these things that I want in someone, but I'm not interested in him. And it's like, God, oh, okay.
God knew.
Yeah, God knew. Did. And then so later on, it was like after Travis and I started dating, is when Jen said, yeah, God had showed her that he was supposed to be for me that night. And so it was just an interesting thing that I felt like, in a way, it was better that God didn't show me right away, because I was always like, who's going to be the right person for me? You know, like, I was, that's like a big desire of mine to be married. And And I would always think that, is this the guy? Is this a guy? Not the guy? You know, I would get confused sometimes, and I would kind of give my heart to the wrong person and then get hurt. And then, I needed to get to that point for myself to be just fully resting it in the Lord, just trusting the Lord, giving my full heart to God first, making him my everything before he brought me the right person. And getting a little bit of emotional right now, but sometimes it's hard to know, what God has for you, because the enemy just wants to confuse us and put blocks in our way so that we stumble and fall or go the wrong way or waste time. And but I remember when I was seeking God and asking him, how do I know who the right person is? I just want to know, and I want you to bring that person into my life. I don't want to be the one trying to make it happen. And he showed me through a worship song one day when we were doing worship. He was like, that song, I'll Seek You as a Precious Jewel.
All in All.
Yeah, yeah. All in All. It was like God, that song is like us singing to God, but in return, God was answering me through that lyric. And he was like, the right person is going to seek you as a precious jewel. And so I held on to that. And it was like, God kept showing me and opening my eyes little by little that it was Travis, through just like answered prayer after prayer. And just like, even my parents were like for it, and everybody that was close to me was like all on board with Travis. And that was not like the norm, it was like either my dad was very standoffish towards the guy that I would bring to the house, or he would just like not be interested in getting to know them. But with Travis, it's like they connected right away and everybody loved him and welcomed him. And and so I just knew it was like God just opened my eyes eventually. And then I said one night when we were hanging out together, I said, I think that God wants us to work together. And Travis was like, I know he does, and I had previously in my process of giving my heart first to God in this area, before I met Travis, God put it on my heart to write a journal to my future husband. And it was like a way of me just giving God all of my heart first, and also me just relying fully on the Lord and just trusting by faith that he has the right person. And so I would just write in this journal, and I would just write prayers to my future husband by faith, and I would write just thoughts that I had. And and so one night the Lord just put on my heart, like, I want you to give him your journal. And it was like me being able to now give him my heart and know that I could trust that he's not going to break it. And so that was like a really special time.
Yep.
And I get really emotional.
I still have that journal on my nightstand. I just looked at it the other day. What I like to do, because it has dates in it, I'll go into it and I'll be like really unplanned. And I'll go look for today's date, and I'll read what she wrote. And it always blesses me, man. Like, it's so cool. And the funny thing about that precious jewel thing, I remember saying something like to you down, like our third date, we're at the Griffith Observatory, remember? And I thought it was the cheesiest thing in the world. I'm like, why did I say that?
But it was an answer to my prayer, it was an answer for me.
And yeah, it worked out, but I was like, that was why. I know. I said a lot of cheesy things, but it turned out okay.
Yeah.
See, that's cool, because I did the same thing the first time I saw my wife. I moved from Houston, Texas to big town of Silicon, Alabama, and I started in a community college, and I sat down in a history room, and I turned to my right, and it just hit me. I mean, it was like God said, "That's your wife." And I'm thinking, no way, you know. and she turned me down three times.
Oh, wow.
And I cut my hair. I had long hair. I cut my hair off. I tried to do everything. And I finally took her. I said, "If you give me one chance, just one chance, I want to take you to my grandparents' house." Because my grandparents' house was love. There was nobody. I know everybody has it, but there was nobody like my grandparents. And I said, "If you just go eat lunch with me over there, the stupidest place to go, take this girl to your grandparents' house." Mm-hmm. But when she got out of there, she knew. And that's why I love my story. But I love hearing y'all's story. And that is just amazing. We all have to be thankful to the Lord for who He's brought us together with, but we also have to be thankful for the people He put in place to help us get there on that journey.
Yeah.
You know, that's the cool part about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, I tell you what, we'll be right back with Travis and Diana Shuler right here on Mix Sunday Morning. Welcome back to Mix Sunday Morning. Travis and Diana Shuler over Zoom. Thank you again for joining the show. Travis, I'm sorry, buddy. You thought we were recording and you said some really cool stuff, but I know that what's going to come now will be even better because we talked about off air. You know, I've had so many guests that the wife was the support person for the husband's ministry, and I've had the husbands that were the support person for the wife's ministry. And today we have I called it unique a little while ago, but I want to call it, it's a spiritual gift that God has given both of you to be able to coexist, to co-write, to co-sing, to do all of this together, and you bring your kids into it. And the question was, usually the first song has a lot of meaning. And you kind of talked about it, that it kind of didn't get released. But tell us about that first song that the two of you wrote together, played together, or just the first time the two of you got the pen on the same song.
Yeah, the song, it was called "Carry Me." It was a song that I wrote kind of as a cry to God, as I was struggling with my coming out of drug addiction and alcohol abuse and every kind of sin you can imagine. I was that kind of sinner. I was just out there living in the world, you know, like the prodigal. And when I came to God, it didn't, a lot of stuff, instantly, you know, I was freed from, but it was a struggle at first. For years, there was kind of this sliding back, and it just took me a long time. So I was constantly praying for God to carry me, because I couldn't do it. I just fall back into my addictions. And He broke those one by one. Some of the obvious ones, you know, went fairly quickly, like the heavier drugs, but it was the not so obvious stuff that kind of clung there, or even the orientation of the heart that just kind of clung to me, like that, those besetting sins. And I shared the song with Diana, like on our second date after swing dancing. And it was really interesting actually, because she just got the guitar out and I showed her the chords, and then I would speak the words, the lyrics, and then she would sing them back to me. And it's kind of like how we write, because I'm like the stronger in lyrics and she's stronger in melody, and she's definitely been the stronger singer of the two of us, and she's kind of been my voice instructor over the past 10 years. You know, it actually, and this didn't come out when I wasn't recording, but it's something I've thought about. And I don't even know if Diana knows this. Her first album was called Words of Your Melody, and that comes from a song she wrote called El Shaddai, which is an amazing song. And it was kind of the song that she told me was kind of like this, like a turning point song for her. And I always thought, like, every time I hear that in that song, even before we got married, I felt like that was something that was like for us. Like, we were word and melody, like combining like our gifts. Cause she's always, you know, was blessed by, I'm like a weird encyclopedia. I'm her Google. I remember things that I read. Like, so I read the Bible. I know what's in the Bible, right? I read it. So like when I come to write, it's like, I get all the Bible passages in my head at once. And it just applies itself to the paper. And then Diana sings it with amazing original melodies. And that's kind of our process in general. And it's amazing that we do that. Now it's like, I'm singing more too. And I've written melodies too. And she sang them, but it's like, I really love that God uses us in our strengths. And then her and I actually coach each other and work with each other on things that we're weaker on. And it's really a blessing. And it's kind of obvious in hindsight why God paired us together as a songwriting team. Because of that, you know, it was just a really good combo.
Now, Miss Diana, do you ever grab his pad and mark out, say, it should say this and not that?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and it's so funny. This is a different song. It's actually a new song that we are releasing on our new EP. But Travis was very excited about these lyrics, and he texted them to me. When it was like, I just wasn't feeling it at all. I was just like, this does not sound like us. Like, it was like the picture of the story was like a guy who lived at his home with his mama, and he puts his lyrics on top
and
of the
suitcase and then goes to the train station to preach the gospel after he quits his job at the steel factory.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is great storytelling. Yeah. And Diana's like, how is this up?
Yeah.
Like, who is this dude that quit his job at the steel factory?
And the funniest part was, it made me crack up the most, is that there's a part that I put our lyrics on top of the laundry that you folded. Why?
I was like, thinking about that, I'm like, I probably wasn't too wise.
we hashed it out. Now, first he took it a little personal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but I was really, I love that. And how can you change that? And I'm like, And then later he saw, yeah, you're right. It sounded a little bit.
So the only thing that survived all those lyrics was a number.
Yeah.
Called 193. That I did research. So I was curious, like, well, if he's going to go preach the gospel and take the train from station to station, to how many nations are there? Because I want to say like this many nations. And I looked it up. I'm like, oh, there's 193 member nations of the United Nations.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that survived. And the song ended up being called 193.
Okay.
Yeah. But the lyrics, she like, it nixed them all. I was like, and I finally looked at it, I was like, she's right.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that he does that to me too.
Yes, I do.
And I act the same way sometimes, and I take it a little personal. I'm like, but I really like that one. I was feeling it. And then so I told him, see, now you know how it feels.
Oh, the best part is with the melodies though, because she'll let me like come up with melodies, and she'll just kind of watch me like in the kitchen. I'll be sitting there with the guitar, and then she'll be like, okay, let me see that guitar. She'll just walk up, take the guitar, and then take the lyrics, and then sit there in 5 minutes, have this amazing melody. I'm like, yeah, we're not going with anything I just did. Yeah.
But I mean, we understand each other's strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
So it's like, we don't really take it super personal.
I know, it's really cool that we have this like safe place where we can be that.
Yeah.
You know, because like at the end of the day, we don't really have to worry about burning some bridge or offending someone. We're stuck with each other for life, right? Yeah. We're husband and wife. So we could be like, well, that's kind of cheesy and it's not gonna mess anything up. It's like, and we can work through it and the next day get back on the song, you know. So it's been a really cool dynamic, and it's nice. I know there's a lot of in songwriting that's kind of a thing, like, you know, a group, a pair or two or three songwriters really kind of forming that kind of good working relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's usually like that. So like someone strong in lyrics, someone strong in melody. Yeah. It's just cool that we have it built in right here. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to go to Nashville to try to find a bunch of other writers.
Yeah.
Although we did write with our producer.
And it would be cool still to visit
Nashville. Yeah, that would be cool.
And write with other people.
And you have free labor at the merchandise table, which you cannot beat.
Exactly. With our kids. And on that song 193, my son threw a lyric out there and it stuck a little bit. I changed it from person to sinner because I wanted it to be, because it was, the idea was the gospel was a seed to plant in the heart of a sinner like me. But I was like, to plant in the heart of what? Like, and my son's like, a person like me. I'm like, oh, that works. And but he still fights for his line. He's like, it should be person like me, not sinner like me. but it's cool because they do contribute.
Yeah, they chime in.
Yeah, they chime in. And
they give their thoughts and their ideas, and it's cute. And they're singing on one of our songs that we recently released.
Yeah, at the end of it, they got a little child kind of part for them where they finish the song in a chorus. It's really cute. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool because usually kids are the most honest ones. They'll give you the most honest answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that is neat. Like you said, it's a person like me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really good at that. Like, you don't have to, my kids, like, they give me a hard time about my singing because they don't like it when I put grit in my voice.
Well, too much.
Too much. And they're kind of right sometimes because I do overdo it.
Sometimes.
Yeah. They're like, it sounds, I think it's too scary for them.
Well, Travis actually has grown a lot in his vocal. And like when we first met, he sometimes would slide off key. And
she knew every time.
And knew every time. But I would tell him because I felt like I don't want to just, you know, say, oh, yeah, it sounds great. And not tell him the truth, you know? And so in love, I tell him. And, but he grew a tremendous amount and just put so much time and practice in developing and allowing God to develop his singing voice, where he's getting to the point now where it's like his vocal is coming closer and closer to the level of like where my vocal
to where is. That 190 song we're talking about, 193, it's like it's my first song where I'm doing all the lead vocals. Mm-hmm. All of them, like just the whole song. And I listen back and usually I'm like, I'll be like, I don't know, and I'll have to sing it, but this time I was like wow, I can do it now.
Yeah.
Thanks to this wonderful wife of mine who's been, you know, guiding and coaching me for the last 10 years. And now I have a voice that I'm proud of. And and I feel like it's getting to where God wanted it. And that's, you know, I think that's a beautiful testimony of what husbands and wives do for each other, though, too.
Yeah, because it's the same goes with, I'm actually becoming a stronger lyric
writer.
Yeah, writer. Yeah,
and
yeah, because he's like my tutor, you know, personal tutor in those areas where I was okay, but I struggled in certain, you know, learning how to write and read as quickly and growing up. And so I struggled a little bit when it came to, you know, certain subjects in school. But when it came to the arts, I was very strong in, like, it was like second nature to me. So that's where we kind of like, we can strengthen each other in growing in our weaknesses too.
Even with the music, like on the management side and the marketing side and the production side, the nerdy stuff, like that's my wheelhouse. Like I'm a nerd, I'm a math guy. I love all things science, all things, anything that, and I just love everything. I'm a big bookworm. So like, I really take to that side of things. And then Diana's like the free spirited, like artistic, like can draw like a picture of Lauryn Hill like perfectly, and we have a painting of that, and can just like, obviously we'll hear one of her, you know, our songs where she's singing, has an amazing voice, and she just was so good at that. And for me, it's like it was math and reading and art and literature and poetry, you know, growing up. And it really is a blessing. Yeah. As I'm talking about it, it's like cool to kind of look back and see the growth in both of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, when we come back, can we play a song?
Yeah.
All right. We'll come back and we'll get you to intro it and we'll play it.
Okay, cool.
All right. We'll be back with Travis and Diana Shuler right here on Mix Sunday Morning.
This is Travis and Diana, and this is our new song, Lord of the Harvest. It's about Jesus being the Lord over our salvation and over the continued harvest of the nations until he comes back.
That's Travis and Diana Shuler, Lord of the Harvest, right here on Mix Sunday Morning.
I needed to hear this today. Maybe you do too. God already knew that you would be going through everything that you're going through right now. And he built you in his image with his spirit to withstand it. And I know you're probably thinking, well, this is too hard. I can't do it anymore. And you're right, you can't do it alone. But with God, you can. In John 4, verse 4, he writes, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." In this verse, John is telling us that The Spirit of Christ is in us, and it is greater than anything we could possibly face in this world. That through Him and with Him, we can overcome. Have faith that one day you'll look back on this time and it'll all make perfect sense. You'll see how everything came together to build you up into the person that God created you to be. Have faith, stay true. God is always with you and He will never fail you. Amen. Shine your light.
It's Mick Sunday morning, and what a show we've had today. I've had the blessing of having Travis and Diana Schuler. You've heard a little bit of their testimony. We've laughed. We even cried on the show today, which is, it's just the Holy Spirit. It's cool. Like I said, I get to sit back and watch what God does. And can I say a prayer before we close this out?
Yes, please.
Heavenly Father, again, I come to you. I'm not worthy of this, Lord. You put these awesome people out in front of me. God, Travis, Diana, what they've shared with us, Lord. Lord, what they've shared about the power of marriage. God, that you've instilled in the infectiousness that they have, Heavenly Father. I ask that that spill onto other marriages. God, I ask you to be with their children, that you will protect that family, Lord. A hedge of protection, angels around them. God, bless their music, bless their ministry, and bless them each and every step of their lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, again, it was a blessing, an honor. I'm speechless. I really am. I'm glad I had the opportunity to meet you, and it's only begun. It is only begun. So get ready for more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell people how they can connect with you.
Well, it's as easy as a Google search on your phone or Safari. If you just type Travis and Diana with the ampersand in between, that's that weird little squiggly thing that looks like an eight. Or you can forgo the ampersand and do travisanddiana.com, mm-hmm. and you can sign up for our mailing list there. You can go on Instagram, Facebook, all the places, and just look up Travis and Diana music, and you'll find us. We're out there, pretty easy. And we'd love to hear from anybody. Just drop us a message, whether that's on Instagram, on email, or wherever. We'd love to hear from you and start a conversation.
And we're on all the streaming platforms, yep. as well, Spotify, Apple Music, and all those.
Yep, YouTube, all the places.
Like I always say, just more superstars on the show. My goodness, I'll have to get out there so I can get your autograph.
We'll send you a CD once you get it. Yeah.
Well, all right. That's Travis and Diana Schuler right here on Mix Sunday Morning. Thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix1065radio.com, the Mix 106.5 mobile apps, or the Mix 106.5 skill on Amazon's Alexa-enabled smart speakers. I'm Greg Wyckoff, and this program is a product of Radio Alabama.